Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday, talking about the love of God. I want to focus in this week, building on where we're at last week, John 14. We made our way through John's Gospel. We're looking at the Last Supper discourse, which is a wonderful place to be during Lent, because it reveals so much about the central reality of what Jesus wants us as disciples to receive and to live in. And that is to receive the truth that what he's come to do is to make it possible for us to live in a relationship of abiding love with God the Father, Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's really the center of it. He's come to make it possible for a race of people that have fallen from glory and were slaves to the powers of sin and death, as St. Paul said, has no hope in the world, who've been lifted up by what Jesus is about to go through. The apostles in this Last Supper discourse still don't get the whole picture, obviously, what's coming. But Jesus is, through his passion, his death, and his resurrection, his ascension into glory at the right hand of the Father, where the work there is completed, where he takes this race of people in his own person. He becomes one of us, and he's here giving to God the Father what belongs to the Father, what Adam was created for, and Eve, and every one of us was created for, to give to God what belongs to God, to give the response of absolute love and gratitude and obedience, to come into the invitation to live with him in love. Jesus has made it all possible. And this is the key stuff that he's unfolding here in the Gospels of John, in this Last Supper discourse, which, of course, volumes and volumes and volumes have been written about. It's some of the deepest theological stuff in the entire Bible. It's profoundly Trinitarian, revealing the relationship, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what it reveals, and John builds on that in his letters, is God is love. God is wholehearted love. God, the ground of all being, of all reality, is a furnace, is an eternally burning furnace of radical, abandoned, self-donating love that is just filled with joy, never-ending joy as a consequence. It's just so marvelous, we can hardly even grasp it. I mean, we can't grasp it without the help of the Holy Spirit, which is what was building on yesterday, because John 14, as Jesus is talking to the apostles and preparing them for what's about to happen, he tells them, look, it's better that I go away. I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a counselor. He's going to reveal everything, remind you of everything I taught you. He's going to reveal the truth to you. He's going to counsel you. He's going to empower you, Jesus will say at different times. He's going to clothe you with power. He's going to give you a heart of flesh. He is the law of the love of God between the Father and the Son. He's going to put it in us. We're going to become temples of the living God by the grace. So, as I said yesterday, the first agenda item, the number one priority of the Spirit, is to put the first commandment in the first place in the heart of the church. That means each one of us, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to learn how to selfish, fearful, broken people who hardly know how to love anything well. He's coming to heal us, transform us, and make it possible for us to actually live in response to God's wholehearted love, to make us wholehearted lovers. This is why the book of Revelation speaks about the marriage feast of the Lamb. The church is a bride, and Jesus is a bridegroom, and God the Father is preparing a bride for his Son. That's where human history is going. It's not just a romantic idea or an image. It's a fact. And God the Father's plan is to have a bride, the church, filled with radical, wholehearted love, gratitude, freedom, and experiential knowledge of God in response to the offer of the gift of his Son. And Jesus amazes us in these sections of John's Gospel, especially John 17, where he makes it clear, Father, I don't want to live without them. Father, I want them to be with me. I want them to be with me. And that's what salvation is about. So as we're talking about these fundamental realities, it applies obviously on many levels to the whole purpose of Lent and our walking through Lent together. And one of them is real change happens, overcoming habit patterns of sin, learning how to forgive, having our minds and hearts healed of the past and things that cling to us. We all fight things like that, and how to overcome the lies of the enemy who tries to fill us with constant discouragement, self-condemnation, self-hatred, self-loathing, all these kinds of things that human beings have to fight. What helps us overcome it is not to hear what the devil says about us or what our flesh says about us or what the world tells us about ourselves, but to hear the voice of God in the Holy Spirit, to hear what God says about you, to see how God looks at you, to be able to believe and to see and look into the eyes, so to speak, of God as he gazes on you with favor and delight. It's so important. So part of that is to understand who God is by his nature. God is love, John tells us, and God is wholehearted love all the time. His love is experienced differently for those who reject his love. That burning love, which we call holiness, cannot abide those who refuse the love and who don't want to be holy, who don't want the transforming power of God to be at work in them, and they choose to turn their back. Well, that love will become judgment. It's not because God's stomping around in heaven, he's angry at them, or that he feels jilted or something like that. You can't change God's wholehearted love. But God is just. Part of that wholehearted love is God's justice. So the foundational idea, one of the foundational principles to internalize, is that God loves you the way God loves God. So we talked about it briefly yesterday. Jesus made it clear. He said, as the Father loves me, so I love you. And he says in a prayer in John 17, Father, you love them as you love me. The Holy Spirit is here to help bring us into an experiential knowledge, not just a head knowledge, but a total person of the heart, core of our being, response and capacity to grasp the invitation that's coming to us and a power to surrender to it. So think about how God has structured reality and how love is at the center of it. You got God's love for God from all eternity, the ground of everything, the fundamental core of all of creation, the whole order of reality. The ground of being is a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons, white hot, radical, wholehearted love. And out of that comes his creation, because love creates, love generates. So God loves God, and then God loves people, for God so loved the world, and he made us for this wholehearted love. And we fell in the garden, Adam and Eve, but Jesus has come to bring us back, to make the Father's ultimate purpose a reality, so that the human heart can enter into a response that's empowered by God himself. We need God to love God. We need God's help. We need God's mercy, and that's what's come to us. And the invitation is for human beings, God's love, to enter into the fellowship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so it's God's love for people, and then it's our love for God. The reason we can love God is that God first loved us. And then God, in his Son, made a way for us to be able to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the love between the Father and the Son, who is a real person from all eternity, and God pours his love into our hearts. And that interior transformation, what is the first commandment the Holy Spirit wants in the first place in the church? It's love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and even all your strength, in another passage in Luke, I think it is. So the totality of our person, of your person, is to surrender to the invitation of God and to see the very meaning for which you were made. You were made not just to win a Super Bowl in this world or to have a nice job or have great vacations or whatever. Your fundamental purpose for being is to come into this relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the fallen man, the fallen human heart, sin and pride and brokenness makes it impossible without God's help for us to even grasp, to begin to grasp this and have a taste for it and to believe it and to be able to be touched by it. So we have God loves God, God loves people. We are empowered by God to respond. And then he says, we're also called to love ourselves. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And guess what? You're never going to be able, I'm never going to be able to love my neighbor in the way that I might want to or that God calls me to without first having the right love for myself. And that sounds selfish, but it's like, say, Bernard of Clairvaux said, we're called, we're made to love ourselves in God. And that means the redeemed humanity, the redemption given to us in Christ, the new man, the new woman that we become, we're meant to look at it, receive it, and glory in it. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for who I am. Thank you for how you made me. I'm going to talk specifically about that one tomorrow because I think that's a stumbling block for many of us and we're trapped and our eyes are in the wrong place and we're not able to rise above the enemy strategies and our own histories and brokenness. And there's, I think, more human beings living with self-loathing or self-hatred or disappointment, self-rejection than a healthy love of self. And then, of course, our call to love others. And the call to love others is conditioned as well to our a radical love and union with God, because our love for neighbor will be the result of an overflow of God's life coming to us. And so what is love? It's to will the good of another. And how do we do that? Even Jesus said he's calling us to love those who hate us, who aren't there yet, aren't ready, and don't deserve or add anything in our eyes to our life. But we can't help it because we're coming into the life that God has made us for, which is wholehearted love. And we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to fall short of that. But as we keep going deeper, he's going to transform us more and more. And we'll see that there's not a human being on the planet that's my enemy. There's no one I need to hate in the world, but it's easy to do. You know, there's a lot of talk about hate in the world. You hate me, this is a sign that you hate me. You know, I'm going to cancel you. Republicans hate Democrats, Democrats hate Republicans, you name it. The tribes, the genders, everybody's against everybody now. This is a sign, friends, of a culture that's going bad. It's losing its rightly ordered loves. It's never been perfect. There certainly has been times a whole lot better than it is right now. This chaos, this disorder, this constant rage, anger, and dismissing of one another, seeing one person after another as my enemy, this comes from the pit. This comes from the pit of hell. This is a horrible belch from Satan, you could say, that is causing amazing, terrible disorder in the country. What did St. Augustine say about how civilizations or why civilizations die? Civilizations die because eventually, he said, men and women love the wrong thing. Their loves become disordered. It's worth thinking about. It's worth thinking about in relationship to our country, to our church, and what's going on in our midst. What we need to do now is to see God's great plan and then to respond to his invitation to come into his burning heart of love and to allow him to transform us so fruits and things can grow in us and we can become the people God made us to be. And it starts with, as Jesus described, abiding in his love. We'll talk about that more this week as well. But until tomorrow, friends, this is Peter Herbeck saying, God bless you. Let's walk in the love of God.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.